Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday night, time for Words of Wisdom. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, I like to give God the honor and the praise for allowing me this opportunity to be able to come before his people on Wednesday night. I thank God for all that he is allowing us to do. And I thank him that he has afforded this opportunity towards us that we can meet on Wednesday night to fellowship in the word of God together. I'm so thankful and I'm grateful and I don't take it lightly. I like to thank each and every one of you who take time from your busy schedule so that we can meet up and explore the word of God together. I'd like to thank all of you who have called on the line, everyone that is listening by internet, and everyone around the world. We have listeners in South Africa. We have listeners from the United Kingdom, Nigeria, and Canada, just to name a few. And I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us as we explore the Word of God. As always, I like to give you the title of the lesson for tonight. And, you know, current events is moving so fast. There's so much going on around the world, but especially here in the United States of America, our democracy is being challenged. The United States was noted for democracy and now is trying to be taken away. But I thank God that he's in control. And he can make every crooked road straight. He can close the doors that need to be closed and open the doors that need to be opened. God is in control. God is in charge of everything and everybody he created. God moved on his own timetable. Because in the past, so many people was asking how long that they would have to suffer. How long will we have to deal with oppression and brutality and injustice and our leaders out of control? But we only have a few days. And we'll have a new president. And I want you to know that we're not putting our faith in man, the new president. But we're going to keep holding on to God's unchanging hand. And trusting that God will do what is best for his people in his own time. And in his own way. And I thank God for what he's doing and has done and promised to do for his children. So let us keep holding on and to the confession of our faith in all things, not some things. Let us have a little talk with Jesus and let him work it out for our good. Just hold on. Got this. And our lesson tonight is the seven dispensations of time. We're going to come from the book of Ephesians, the first chapter and the 10th verse. So I'm going to give a little bit background on dispensation. Many of you know some things about it. Many of you might know a lot of things about them. So if you know it already, this is a review. And if you don't know it, I hope it is something that you can place in your spiritual growth that could help you to understand the hand of God. So I want you to know that the dispensationalism is a method of interpreting history that divides God's master plan. At this time, we'll play a song, and then I'm going to ask someone to lead us to God's throne of grace in prayer. So the song that I'm going to play, I thought it was appropriate, because the dispensations is God's master plan, the way he divides the time and the methods and what he wanted to happen on earth at these particular times, or he saw where something had to be done, changed, altered. So they call it a dispensation of time. So the song I'm going to play is called The Master Plan.
You're gonna
that song was telling us to hold on. You know, we look at the world and the events that I talked about a little earlier, and you're wondering what's going on and how it's going to end. But don't worry. God has a master plan, and you see his plan unfolding before your eyes. The Bible say you can't just keep issuing out evil and expect to get good. Everything has a climax, and the Bible say you got to reap what you sow. So if you put it out there, you got to be willing to accept the consequences. And that's what's happening. God's master plan is unfolding before your eyes. The hand of God is doing what he want to do in the situations that's in front of us. But not just the situations in the world. I come to tell you, if, no matter what's going on in your life right now, what problems or situations you are facing, it could be your health, it could be your finances, it could be your family, it could be your friends, it could be all of that. But God has a master plan. Just hold on. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Put your faith in God with whatever it is that's going on with you, because he's the only one can straighten it out. God says he's working all things out together for the good for those that love him. If you love him, you know he loves you, and it's going to be all right. I can't tell you the time right now, how long it'll take, but you just got to hold on, because the race is not given to the swift, but those who endure to the end. If you take a look back at your life and all of the things that's happened to you through the years of your life, some things were so unbearable you thought you could never get over it. And it probably hurt it you a lot. But if you look right now, you can look back at those things and see how God brought you over. And if he brought you over with those things, he could take care of anything that's going on in your life right now. Do you trust him? Do you love him? And at this time, if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. I'll open the mic, and you could pray across the airway. God is giving this opportunity out for someone to pray. Anyone who would like to pray, just press the one button on your phone, and I'll open your mic. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, to give up every perfect gift, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, the great I Am. Lord, you are our high tower. You are our rock, our sword, and our shield. And Lord, I just want to take this time right now to say thank you. I thank you, dear God, that you have given me the opportunity that I can open up my mouth unto you, God, the author and the finisher of my faith, that I could pray, dear God, to you directly. Lord, we knew it was a time we couldn't because of our sins. Jesus came and died and was buried in a borrowed tomb and laid in a grave, and on the third day he rose, and one of the things that he accomplished for us, he bridged the gap between us and you, Lord, so he gave us the right to be able to come to you for ourselves. And Lord, right now I'm just exercising that right. Lord, I call upon your holy and mighty name. Lord, I ask that everybody on this program, dear God, as I give information, the Holy Ghost will give them illumination and revelation. Lord, I pray that the word that I speak accomplish what you have designed it to do. Lord, I also pray that the word don't return void. And Lord, I pray that something that is said can give a person a desire to want to get closer to you, that'll help a person to understand you even more. Bless everyone that's on this line, dear God, their family, their friends, even their enemies and their foes. because, God, you love everybody. Lord, I pray that everyone that's on the line receive whatever they're in need of through your blessing and your powerful hand. Bless us, dear God, and keep us. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, and thank God. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to go into the lesson tonight. More callers has called in, and I want you to know that we're coming out of the book of Ephesians, the first chapter and the 10th verse. That was a verse that I could find that stated dispensation is within the scripture. And I always like to give you something to read, so that's why I asked you to read Ephesians, first chapter. So I'm going to do a little background, and I want you to know about the dispensations. You see, it is said that dispensationalism is a method of interpreting history that divides God's plan. I'll say it again. Dispensation is a method of interpreting history that divides God's master plan, his work and purposes towards mankind into different periods of time. You see, in the Bible, a dispensation is a unique administration. It's like a stage in the workings of God's plan throughout history, during which man is tested in respect of obedience. You know, special revelation of the will of God during that time. It's specific for that. Specific for that. You see, scripturally speaking, a dispensation is not a period of time, but a manner or method. The dispensation is not identified by the time, but the method and the manner. You see, dispensationalisms have two primary distinctives. One, a constantly interpretation, and it's literal, of scripture, especially Bible prophecy. And two, it's a view of the uniqueness of Israel. You know, that's God's chosen people, as separated from the church in God's program. I know we are the church. It's an appointed order or age. A dispensation is not a time period, but it covers a time period. Dispensation is not a time period, but it's a period that is covered in that time. And that time span, we call it an age. We're living in a church age right now, y'all. They call it an age, which is the entire period from creation of Adam to the new heavens and the new earth. So that's all the way from the beginning. In the beginning, Genesis 1, and the new heavens and the new earth, which is going to be established in Revelation 21 and 1. That's when the dispensation and the different time periods are. You see, the scripture divide time into seven unequal periods. And sometimes it is called the different ages. Sometimes it say, and days, when it's the Bible say, and in days. And then sometimes it say, as in day of our Lord. So when you read the Bible and it say those things, you can relate it to it, talking about a specific dispensation. You see, these periods are marked off in Scripture by some change in God's master plan and method of dealing with mankind. Follow what I'm saying. We remember God had a master plan before the foundation of the world. By God being omniscient, that means he knew everything was going to happen even today. And with him knowing that, his master plan included everything that would be necessary for mankind to be the best that they could be. God has your best interest at heart. And you see, God knew all of this, and he has all of this that's going to happen, but it happened at different times. But it was all a part of his master plan. And it was all designed to deal with mankind. And mankind in two aspects. And mankind for his sin of mankind. And the dispensations deal with man's responsibility. I want to let you know that five of these dispensations or period of time has already been fulfilled. They have happened, they've been fulfilled. And remember, whatever God does in his master plan, or if he spoke of it in prophecy, or he gave a promise, they're going to all be fulfilled because God's got the power to do that. God don't leave nothing on the table. Jeremiah 29 and 11 say, I know the thoughts I have to you, thoughts of good and not evil. Those thoughts that God have for you, that he gave to Jeremiah about you and your he said thoughts for your expected end, your intended purpose, God is working it out daily. And he's going to achieve it, even as you try to block it, even if you tried to stop it, even if you wasn't in position, and even if something that could have took you 3 days, take you 3 years, because of you, it's not because of God. You see, the children of Israel, when they was led out of slavery in Egypt, and God had promised them the promised land, and he was directing them into the course to get there, and because of their disobedience, it took them 40 years. But when God got ready, he said, it's time to move now. See, when we disobey, we don't get to pick the consequences. We don't get to state what we want the setback to be. You throw it out there. You have to just take the consequences that are given to you. And it's not nothing that God is trying to do to you. It's the consequences for your action. Jesus said, I took away your sins that you could have eternal life. They're not going to be held against you, but, you know, the way you act, the way you act with those sins, he said, I'm going to remove the sin because that's the command from my Father that I died to take away the sins of the world. He said, but the consequences of those sins, you have to pay. So five of them, as I say, has already been filled, and we are living in the sixth. We are living in the sixth right now, and this age is called the Age of Grace. And if you really look at it, grace is also called the church age. So if you say the dispensation of grace or the dispensation of the church age, it's the same thing, and that's what we're living in now. We're living in the grace of God, and we are the children of God, and we became the body of Christ, and we are the church. Where we worship is the church building. Where we go to fellowship one with another is the church house. But we are the church. The Bible said that Jesus is coming back for the church. He don't want all of those church buildings. He wants his church, the body of Christ. And then the seventh and the last will be the millennium. So I think it's going to be easy for you to follow me on tonight. So I just want to read Ephesians 1st chapter and 10 verse. And that's the only scripture we have, you know, in reference to this lesson in a sense. It said that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he who, talking about Jesus Christ, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. When the fullness of time has come, he's going to gather everything unto himself, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That's the scripture, y'all. So I'm going to start with the first dispensation. The first dispensation of time was called man's innocence. Or the dispensation of innocence. You see, this dispensation extended from the creation of Adam in Genesis 2 and 7 to expulsion from Eden. You see, Adam created innocence and ignored. Let me say it another way. Adam was living in a garden. And he was living, and everything there was innocent. You see, many times before Adam sinned, they said they were naked. The Bible said they was naked, but it wasn't no shame in their game because everything was innocent. Adam was created innocent. And he was ignorant of good and evil. It was no need to teach him good and evil because everything was innocent. And he was placed in the Garden of Eden with his wife, Eve, and put under responsibility to replenish the earth with children, subdue the earth, have dominion over the animals, take care of the garden, abstain from eating the fruit from the tree of good and evil. That looked like a pretty deal. God has provided everything they need. They didn't get there and have to wait till a tree grew to eat. The trees was there. They didn't have to water the tree for it to grow. A mist came from the ground. God had provided everything that they could ever need. He told them, have babies, subdue the land, name the animals, have dominion over them, care for the little garden, and abstain from eating the fruit from the tree of knowledge and good. You see, God warned of the punishment of physical and spiritual death for disobedience. You know, Adam told Eve to eat it. He said, you're not going to die. You're just going to gain a lot of knowledge and be like a god. Satan lied to people. He lied to Eve. I'm sure he lied to Adam. And he lied to us daily. You see, so Eve ate the fruit. She gave some to Adam, which Adam didn't have to take it, but he accepted it. Maybe when Adam saw that Eve didn't die immediately, well, he maybe believed Satan lied as well. So he ate some. What they didn't know was that, because Satan left that out, he told them, you won't die. But when they ate of the fruit, they didn't die physically immediately, but they died spiritually. You see, dispensation was short-lived and brought to an end by Adam and Eve's disobedience. Now, this will give you a glimpse of how a dispensation was there. That was God's order. It was innocent. and they had no sin. There was no need for, there was no good and evil. It was just innocent. They ate the fruit. They received the knowledge of good and innocent. Now, so you could see how the dispensation of innocence was destroyed because of Adam and Eve disobedience. You see, the dispensation of innocence resulted in the first failure of man and its far-reaching effects is really devastating. And it closed with judgment. Part of their judgment because of their sin. Now, everything was innocent. God provided everything. They sinned. And what happened? God threw them out of the garden. And it's another story, what else he did. Because, you know, you might say, what about the tree of life? God put swords and angels to guard it. Because if they would have eaten after they sinned, if they would have ate from the tree of life, they would have never died. They would have lived forever in a sin nature. Could you imagine that? They would have no hope for salvation. Because they would have reversed debt, which with the plan that God has, debt, once we die, if we accepted Jesus Christ, we could have eternal life. But if we lived and could never die, then we wouldn't have a Savior, and we would live forever in our evil, sick sin nature, creating us a sick sin, evil nature forever. So God said, I can't let them eat the off the tree of life because they would be messed up. You see the love of God? But what happened was now the dispensation of time of innocence was gone. I hope you're following me. And y'all could go in Genesis up until, you know, the third chapter, and you could see all of this I'm talking about. And then what happened after that? So now they were innocent. We see how innocent left. So now they received a conscience. Innocence was gone. Conscience was known. And it created the dispensation of time of conscience. And conscious of what? Good and evil. Come on, y'all. So, innocence gone. Conscience is on the scene now. This is the second dispensation. You see, by the fall of Adam and Eve, acquired and transmitted to the race of knowledge of good and evil, this gave conscience a basic for right moral judgment. And hence, the race came under the measure of responsibility to do good and shun evil. See, when he brought that in, he said, okay, since now you know, you have a responsibility, a moral responsibility. Either you do it good or you do it bad. You do it right or you do it wrong. You listen to me or you listen to yourself. See, that's how that came in. Because remember, it was innocent. You see, and it lasted 1,065 years from the time of Adam and Eve eviction from the garden until the flood. Follow me now, y'all. During this time, there was no institution or no government and no laws. You see, this dispensation demonstrated what mankind will do if left to his own will and conscience, lean to his own understanding, doing anything that seemed right in his eyes, which had been tainted by the inheritance of the sin nature we received from Adam. You see, the result of the dispensation of conscience, where we at now, from Eden, the Garden of Eden, to the flood, was that all flesh was corrupt on the earth, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil consciously, continuously. The five major aspects of this dispensation of conscience: God cursed the servant, you're going to lay on your belly. God changed womankind and childbearing. He cursed nature. He imposed work on mankind to produce his own food. I was giving it to you on a silver platter, Adam. But everything that God had did for them in the garden, they slapped. It was like a slap in the face, and evidently like he wasn't doing enough, so they had to listen to the serpent. But let me show you how good God is. God created the creation in the first chapter, man, woman, all the animals, the trees, everything. And it's so ironic that by the third chapter of Genesis, man fell. But you got to see the love of God. So if y'all get off the phone tonight and you don't read anything, go to Genesis 3 and 15, and you'll see after man messed up how God gave a promise to send a Savior. Now that's love, y'all. You see, and we see that the dispensation was testing time. So God closed this second testing of the natural man with judgment. Listen at this, y'all. Every dispensation, as we keep going down, man fell. Failed. And we are failing now. So it's not new, y'all. But the point I want to make at this point is that God knows that man would be weak, and that he would fail, and that he would fall. And nothing inside of man, no matter how good you are, no matter how much you read the Bible, no matter how much you go to church, no matter how much you pray, no matter how much you give, he knew that they could never do enough to save themselves. That's why he sent his son, even after they disrespected him. You know, it's like you slap him in his face after he give you everything, and then you want to do that. But God's love for us, and by chapter 3, Genesis 3:15, he gave a promise of a Savior that will come if we believe. So in this dispensation, the conscience of man, of evil and good, well, more evil than good, was so horrific that God allowed Noah to build an ark. And Noah, his children, their wives, and his wife went on the ark with the animals. And God flooded creation. That was the judgment for man failing. Remember, in the first dispensation of time, the dispensation of innocence, man failed. The punishment was that, you know, they was put out of the garden. And then when they got their conscience, they failed even again. And God destroyed the world by flood. And he put some other things, some of their judgments. The lady's going to have birth pains, and, you know, and they got to work. Now, man got to work by the sweat of the brow. If they don't work, they shouldn't eat. Come on, y'all. They didn't have all that. They didn't have to work. Women probably wouldn't have had to have birth pains before that. But this is what brought it. So now, the dispensation of conscience. Now, I told you that the dispensation of innocence was canceled, but the dispensation of conscience is still going on. Once it got put in place, it was never cease, a stop. That's why we have a conscience today. We are free moral agents to choose right or wrong. Now we get to the third one. Man in authority over the world's government. Now, after Noah and his wife in the ark landed, God knew that man was so crooked they needed laws. That's why the Bible teaches us the law is not made for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. Come on, y'all. You see, a righteous person gonna, you know, do what's right. You know, and some of the laws that they have in place, some people never broke the laws. They pay their tax. They keep their driver's license up. They drive at the right speed because they're just sensible. But you're going to have the people that's not going to keep their license. They're not going to pay their tickets. They're going to drive at these extraordinary speeds. So they needed something in place. And that's when world government came into place after the dispensation of innocence was introduced. I didn't say in, but introduced. You see, the third dispensation of human government, which began in Genesis, God had destroyed the earth with a flood, saving only one family. God made the following promises to Noah. They messing up and God still helping the people and giving them promises. What a mighty God we serve. God say he will never curse the earth again. Noah and his family are to replenish the earth again. They shall have domain over the animals, okay? They are allowed to eat meat. See, before the flood, everybody was vegetarian. But after the flood, God said you're allowed to eat meat. And the law of capital punishment was established that if you take a man, if you kill a man by the sword, you die by the sword. And even in the world, that's where capital punishment came from. They take things out of the Bible, which they take them and mishandle them, but that's how it all got there. And God said there'll never be another worldwide flood. And God even said, to let you know what I'm working with, he said, I'm going to give you a promise and I'm going to give you some evidence. He said, a sign of this promise that I'm giving you will be a rainbow. You see, Noah's descendants did not scatter. He told him up there, y'all go and replenish the earth. Now, when the flood came, it was the whole earth. They had land everywhere. God wanted Noah's family to separate and replenish the earth everywhere. They didn't do it. They stayed together. They hovered around each other. Okay, scatter as God had commanded, thus failing their responsibility in this dispensation. See, I'm showing you the failure in each one and then the wrath that came with it. But about 300 years after the flood, they start building a Tower of Babel. Y'all know where they wanted to build a tower in a great city and get up to God and be like God. They was trying to make a name for themselves. They start building a Tower of Babylon. Now, a Babel. Now, God did not orchestrate or ask them to build a tower. He didn't even have nothing to do with it, but he let them do it. I always speak about God allowing and God orchestrating. He didn't orchestrate it, but let me show y'all something in life with God. God is in control. Nothing can happen unless he orchestrates or allows it. He didn't orchestrate them to do that. He didn't even want them to do that, but they did it. But let me show you how he turned it around for his good. You see, Satan has set that up for the bad, probably pumping on them that they could get up there and be with God or be God. They might have wanted to overtake him and do a riot. But you see, God used it for his good. Because see, now this is the power of God, y'all, I'm trying to show you. In the Old Testament, you want to know God, you want to see God, you got to go to the Old Testament because you're going to see how he operates. So what God did when they got so high, God changed their language. And when he changed their language, they couldn't understand each other to keep this magnificent. And it was magnificent, y'all. Go and look at a picture of it in the Bible, you know, if you could browse on the internet. They they couldn't understand each other. So what they did, they got off the Tower of Babel, and everybody that spoke the same language with each other, they all decided to go to a place. And that's how God got to repopulate the earth. And from that, that's where the races of mankind was established. You see, some that went to the coast of Africa, some went to Asia, and some was European. And, you know, that's how they say you got the Negroids, which is the blacks, the Asians, and the Caucasians. So when they got in that Tower of Babylon, God changed their language, and they got out of Dodge. And it didn't make no sense for them to be with each other because they couldn't understand them. Just those who could understand went one way. Those who could understand went one way. Those who could understand. And it was Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wife. That's almost like where we got the world populated on the north, the south, the east, and the west. See the hand of God. Whatever God does is well done. The devil set it up for the bad, for them to go against God, but God turned it around and used it for his good. They wouldn't go on their own, but this is what God did. And they filled the earth. And that's where we got different nations and cultures. You see, and from that point on, human government has still been a reality. So, innocence left. Conscience stayed. Government is staying. The next one is a promise. You see, out of the dispensation, descendants of the builder of Babylon, God called one man, Adam, in whom he entered into a covenant. He stated with the call of Adam to continue through the lives of the patriarch. So he's showing you how he started calling righteous people. And he started with Adam. I'm sorry, he started with Abraham. And he started and he started calling patriarchs all the way with the exit of the Jewish people from Egypt, a period of about 430 years from there. You see, during this dispensation, God developed a great nation that he had chosen as his people. That's how God chose the Israelites. And the basic promise of the dispensation of promise was made with Adam, was made with Abraham. God told Abraham that he would be a great nation. God was blessed with natural and spiritual, material and spiritual prosperity. God would keep Abraham and make his name great. Now they was trying to build a Tower of Babel to make their name great. And here we see God said he was going to make Abraham's name great, and he could do it much better than they could have ever. God would bless those who bless Abraham's descendants and curse those who curse him. And Adam's, all families of the earth will be blessed. We're living on the blessings of Abraham that God gave him in a covenant, y'all. You need to know that. And this is a fulfillment in Christ and his work of salvation. It's a part of our blessing, y'all. The sign of the covenant, he told him, look, now circumcise all of the males after so many days. And that was the sign of the covenant. And this covenant, which is repeated to Isaac and Jacob. That's why when people be praying, Lord, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God repeated the covenant to these as well. It's confirmed to the Hebrew people. And then that was the 12 tribes of Israel. Every one of these conditions, this is so sad, y'all. Every one of these conditions was violated. And the dispensation of the promise resulted in the failure of Israel. And look how it closed with the bondage of the Israelites in slavery in Egypt. See, God keep loving you, but you got to pay for your sins. Now, y'all, watch out, Donald Trump. God's going to still love you. And you see, when God makes these promises, he'll never stop it or block it. Or change it or take it back. So he keep doing his thing. And you just keep messing up. And then he give judgment on you. And then he keep doing it, doing something else for you again. So that's what happened in that dispensation, y'all, of the promise. But the promise is still here today. Then we go to the fifth, and that's where the law. Again, the grace of God came to help the helpless man and redeem the chosen people out of the hands of the oppressors. In the wilderness, he proposed to them a new covenant, the law. Come on, y'all, this our law got in here, the sacrifice of the bulls and stuff. Instead of humbly pleading for a continued relationship of grace, they presumably answer, all that the Lord has spoken will do. And it lasted only about 1,500 years from the Exodus period until the suspense of Jesus Christ's death. You see, this dispensation will continue during the millennium. And it's going to be suspended. The law is going to be suspended with Jesus Christ, which is going to give us the next dispensation of grace. In this dispensation, God said, okay, y'all messed up. Y'all say y'all not going to do it again, but I know y'all. So what you do, I'm going to institute a sacrificial thing. And it's going to make y'all work because y'all going to have to bring things to the altar to sacrifice and things like that. He said, but let me tell you, the sacrifice you bring could only cover your sin. It can't take away your sin. Come on, y'all. He said, I'm going to take it for now because this is the dispensation that is under and this is the rules that's there. He said, but, you know, something else got to be done. He said, and it was never God's intention to make you have to work that hard. But we brought it on ourselves. But he said, I'm going to find another way. So God closed the testing of man by law in judgment. First Israel, then Judah, were driven out of the land into a bad place, which still continues. Oh, but in due time, Christ came, born of a woman made under the law. My time is running short, y'all. The sixth is grace. Now, we know I'm going to have to cut these short, which I'm going to have to, so we could go through it, and you got the idea. And you see, grace, the sixth dispensation. So the law was in place, and then came Jesus. So Jesus, you no longer had to sacrifice the bulls and stuff, because Jesus decided to become the one sacrifice for mankind. Jesus said, Dad, I'll go, and I'll become the sacrifice. But with the bulls and the goats, you had to sacrifice them each year every time you sinned. But Jesus said, I'm going to pay the debt penalty. I'm going to become the sacrifice, and I'm going to be a once and for all. And when I do this, it is finished. Your sins will be forgiven forever. You're going to have to live with your consequences. He said, because I'm bringing grace, and grace is unmerited, and it's a gift from God through his son. You see, and the gift of grace always be with you because God say his grace is sufficient. So we live in under the dispensation of grace, and we no longer have to sacrifice bulls and animals. And you see, and it's called a church age. It started with Jesus Christ. You accept Jesus, you become his. That's what you have, grace. This dispensation has lasted for over 2,000 years. Watch your time frame. We're living in the year 2021. Jesus came in number, like, say, 1 B.C., so it was 2,000 years since Jesus came and died and all of that. That's why they say it's been 2,000 years. And nobody know when it's going to end, because nobody know the hour or the date. You know, and the next thing would be the rapture, but nobody knows. But we know that it will end with the rapture, and that we will go to be with Christ. Following the rapture will be the judgment of God lasting for 7 years. That's the tribulation. After this, the personal return of the Lord to the earth in power and grace and mercy. And the judgment which introduced in the seventh and last dispensation, which is judgment. And then if we go to number seven, it's the millennium. And the millennium, hallelujah, you see, after the purifying judgment of Christ will return to the earth, we will reign over restored Israel and over the earth for 1,000 years. This is a period commonly known as the millennium. The word millennium means 1,000. And it will last 1,000 years as Christ himself rule the earth. See, that's what we're looking for, y'all. The kingdom will fulfill the prophecy of the Jewish nation that Christ will return and he will be our king. See, God is still fulfilling the prophecies that were said. If he said it, it's going to come to pass. The only people allowed in the millenniums are born again Christians, believers, from the church age of grace and righteous survivors of the 7-year tribulation. And you see, Jesus is going to come back in a rapture, and everybody at that time, dead or alive, is going to go with him. They're going to be a 7-year period of tribulation. The first 3.5 is going to be bad, and the second 3.5 is going to be even worse. And they're going to be some people saved at that time, y'all, because you know God is a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh chance. So the people that's going to enter the millennium is the ones that went with the rapture when Jesus first came, and those who withstood the mark of the beast and being killed and, I mean, horribly treated during the tribulation. Some going to make it. You see, no unsaved person is allowed access into the kingdom. And what's going to happen? Satan is bound during this 1,000-year period. The period ends with the judgment. The old world is destroyed by fire. When God said, I'll never destroy the world by water, he said, but next time by fire. That's the final judgment, when everything is going to be burnt away and everything going to be whole new, and the unsaved is going to burn in eternal hell of fire. So that's how they say, that it's going to be by fire. And the new heavens and the new earth is going to come. That's why they tell you when you die, you can't take nothing with you. Everything that we working so hard for and doing all these type of things for here on this side of the earth, we doing all that, and it's all temporal. Because everything on earth, when that time comes, is going to be burned with a fervent heat. And everything as you knew it is going to be gone. And behold, everything is going to be new. And we're going to live in the new Jerusalem with Jesus as our Lord. But what's going to happen? After that 1,000 years, Satan is going to be loose. And the Bible says, for a little while, he finds the natural heart as prone to evil as ever and easily gathers the nation to battle against the Lord. This sounds like what Donald Trump did. When Satan is loose, he see man is still evil. So he gathered himself up an army. That's the battle of Armageddon, y'all. And I can't get into all of that. But that's what's going to happen. And this last dispensation closes like all others. The judgment. Okay. The great white judgment is set. The wicked dead are raised and finally judged. And then come the new heaven and the new earth. Everybody still living at that time will be judged and damned into hell. All of the dead that's been dead and died wickedly and didn't accept Christ is going to rise, be judged, and throw it into the liquid fire as well. And when all that is done, a new heaven and a new earth will appear, and then eternity begins. That's my lesson for tonight, y'all. Any questions or comments? No question about nothing? Caller, your number is 985-774. Your mic is open.
Yes, Sister Diane, I really liked the lesson tonight. I really enjoyed it. I'd like to go through that this one again, or maybe a little slower, but I really enjoyed it tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, and I thought I just had enough material so I could have finished in an hour, but when I start talking and, you know, God wants y'all to hear certain things, I just say what I think is necessary at the time. But
it's very good.
Know, and every time you go to Bible study, all of you guys, try to remember, you know, I'm giving this lesson. If it perk your interest, then you go study it. You studying it with a little knowledge that you receive. In 1 hour, we could never explain everything. We could never say everything. You know, sometimes we could break the lessons up. Like I could do really a day at the next 7 Wednesdays on one dispensation. You know, really and truly. But if it perk your interest, I have a bunch of scriptures, and y'all know the number to call, the prayer line number. And I could give you the scriptures that put you right into the dispensation in the Bible. So I thank you for enjoying the lesson, and I pray that you search and find out. I always tell you guys, I can only give information, but it's the Holy Spirit that gives revelation and illumination. Tell the Holy Spirit that you had this lesson tonight and you want to understand it, and you'll be surprised where he bring you to. I guarantee you. Thank you so much, Sister Diane.
Thank you.
Caller, your number is 430-4883. Sister Joyce.
Good evening, Minister Dye. You was plain and simple and on fire for tonight. I, just as you said, it make you want to go and study and learn more. But you brought it to us plain and simple, and I just thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. I thoroughly thank God for your plain and simple way that you bring it to us that we can understand it. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you so much, my sister. And if I wanted to turn around and look at the clock, you know. But anyway, this is what it was, and God and the Holy Ghost was here. So what we got is what we got. What we do with it depends on us. But I'm so grateful, and I was just trying to get the point that we knew it was innocent. They messed up, innocent left. Conscience came. That's when conscience came. That's when we became free in moral age. After we got a conscience, we got crazy. So God decided to make government. And then we had the government, and it's still here now. And God had to destroy the world because they were so evil. But then he kept coming back.
Yes.
And then he found
yes.
a man in another dispensation, Abraham, to make a promise. He still was trying.
Yes.
He still, can't y'all see how God is still in the blessing business? No matter how many times they messed up, his master plan had an answer. His master plan included the next level. And that's how God deals with us in our lives. You know, he gave the promise with Adam. They still kept messing up. He said, I'm going to give y'all my promised land, and y'all can't go in my promised land acting all kind of ways. He said, but I had never given a law. And God said he can't even hold people without a law. How you like that? Because he's a
yep.
fair God. So now he said, okay, I'm going to put the law in effect. not so much for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. And with the laws being in there, say, law number 607, if you kill somebody, this is the consequences. The laws pointed the sins of man to him. Without a law, you was doing it, but ain't nothing told you it was so wrong or wicked. But you see how the plan of God works. So then he put the law, and they couldn't make it. God said, my poor people are going to die and go to hell. They're going to be the burnt up every cow and bull and animal on the face of the earth. He said, so now I'm going to send my son. Why God took that particular time to send Jesus, the New Testament, the Old Testament, for all of those years? Because he wanted to. It's his plan. But he's an on-time God. We might not understand it. But you see, they say the different dispensation was testing time. He was testing them. All right?
Mm-hmm. All right.
So we got to throw that in there, and that'll help us with the dispensation. It was testing. So he tests them with the law, and they fail again. He said, my poor people are going to die and go straight to hell. Let me send them a Savior. And that's when the dispensation of grace came.
Thank
and after grace
so
is going to be the millennium. Thank you, my sister. Love you.
Love you back.
Anyone else? I tried so hard to finish on time, and really and truly we 9 minutes, and we're going to have a benediction. So as we saw, well, y'all know I'm a believer in 2 Peter 3:18. With all we've seen tonight and how God started and changed it for the welfare of mankind and because of the evil of mankind, we see that. But Peter asks us to just grow in the grace that has already been established for us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what Peter's saying. You grow in that grace, and how you grow is keep getting knowledge of our God. And then you'll know that the grace is sufficient, and it began to grow, and you begin to get stronger. Come on, y'all. And God work with you, and you become better and better. Not perfect. You could tell from these dispensation of time things that I like to say. God said, I'm not looking for your perfection, because he knew they couldn't. He said, but I'm looking for your direction. He's saying, if you learn to take care of my business, I'm going to take care of yours. Our choice. See, we got this choice in the dispensation of conscience. Because you didn't have to have a choice because everything was all good. It was innocence. Man messed up over and over and over and over, and is still messing up. But God knew it. That's why he sent his son. God knew it. He put something in the order of the law until his son could come. See, God knew Jesus was going to come at a appointed time. And they were failing under the law. But when God knew it was the right time before they destroyed himself, he sent his son. See, God's time in his own time. And that's how we got to look at God. Because God has the master plan. And that's it for the night. If it's God's will and your desire, you'll be back on next Wednesday. God loves you, and so do I. And it is my desire that everyone be blessed. Be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank God. See you next Wednesday.